How's it going? Welcome to Valley Church. My name is Mark. I'm one of the leaders here, and I don't recognize all the faces I see, so that is awesome. So welcome. Welcome to Valley Church. Thanks for joining us. Man, today is another Sunday in 2021. Have you guys been saying 2021 or 2021? 2021? Is it so I'm not weird if I say it like that? Okay, perfect. Woo! At least I got that going for me. Okay, well, if you haven't been here or haven't been here in a while, we're still in the book of Matthew and we're in chapter 9, so we're busting right through this. Today we're going to go through verses 14 through 17, but before we dive into some scripture, little small fact about me. When I was a child, for as long as I could remember, I used to sleep on my stomach. Any stomach sleepers out there? Yeah? Okay. Well, I did this probably up until, I know, for sure, actually up until college. I slept on my stomach. Great. I drew it all over the mattress. It was fantastic and gross. I always had spit dried on my cheek. It was fine. And I slept like a baby. So that wasn't the problem, though. One day I woke up and I was like, something's off with my neck. And like, I just kind of went on, whatever. And then I woke up again, probably like a month later, and my neck was killing me again. I was like, what's going on? And someone's like, do you sleep on your stomach? And I was like, yeah. And like, well, maybe it's because you're sleeping on your stomach that your neck hurts. And I was like, no way. So I kept doing it all the way through college. And one day I woke up and my neck was like, not locked, but I could barely move it like any direction at all. And unfortunately, this was the same day as a golf tournament. And I don't know if you've ever tried to golf while your neck couldn't move, but basically, the trick with golf is they always say, keep your eye on the ball. But in order to swing, I just kept going like this. I was like, well, there's the sky. There's the, oh, where to go? I don't know. I can't see it anymore. I had this problem with my neck, and I had an idea of how to fix it, but I didn't want to. And it took me forever to stop sleeping on my stomach until it actually affected golf, of all things. That is what stopped me from sleeping on my stomach. Now I'm a side sleeper. Who's a side sleeper? Yeah? Oh, man. If I sleep on my back, I snore. That's all I know. Okay. Hopefully my wife shows up soon. She's late. There's lots of kids. Hey, and if you haven't been here, I have another kid now. So there's Mark Rima's life update. Okay, I don't tell you I slept on my stomach and now I stopped, but it took me a long time just to tell you that story. It has something to do with the scriptures today because I feel like Jesus is trying to tell some people some stuff and it took them way too long to figure it out. So, with that in mind, before I read the scripture, I just want to pray and we will dive into this. So, Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you that you're here with us. And Father, I just pray right now, I ask, is there anything, Lord, that you're asking us to do, asking me to do? Lord, and we just want to be attentive to the things that you are calling us to. Lord, we want to be people that just hear what you have for us and do it. So Lord, help us to do that tonight. Help us to be just in your presence. We love you, Jesus, and pray all these things in your name. Amen. Okay, so context real quick for chapter 9. Jesus has been healing people. It's been causing quite a stir. He's been recently, as chapter 8, teaching, and man, a lot of people have been taking notice. In particular, the Pharisees have been noticing that Jesus is saying and doing things contrary to a lot of their rules and laws, particularly with Matthew, who is introduced, even though he wrote the book, into this chapter. He calls him, and he says, I have not come to call the righteous but sinners, because Matthew, being a tax collector, was deemed a sinner and just dirtbag probably by society, but Jesus says, I want to hang out with this type of person. Jesus said these things, and the Pharisees took issue, and they call him a blasphemer. It's pretty cool. So people are taking notice, and one of the people that are taking notice are John the Baptist followers. So these guys obviously follow John the Baptist, but they have some questions for Jesus as well. So again, all eyes on Jesus. So we have here, starting in 14, then John's disciples came and asked him, how is it that we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast? Jesus answered, how can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. Then they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. Neither do people pour wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst. The wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. So John the Baptist followers, like I said, come up to him, ask him this question. And most scholars are pretty certain that John followed an ascetic lifestyle, and ascetic just is this highly disciplined and very little indulgence. So if they were studying the word, they'd be like, I'm going to study this and not eat while I do it. And instead of rewarding myself with some cake or something like that, I am going to now not eat some more and really focus on Jesus or God at the time. So these guys, probably highly disciplined, and fasting during the day was mostly done for mourning sin, pleading with God, and helping the person that fasts to lessen themselves so that God can become more. And it's something that's supposed to be intimate between you and the Lord. Jesus even says, like, this should be strictly between you and God. But the religious leaders at the time made it quite the opposite. It was more of a spectacle, like, hey, look at me. They would dress up for it, only they would kind of dress down for it because they were probably always wearing these fantastic robes or garments of whatever. And they would wear sackcloth, put ash on their face, look disgusting, and go, oh, I'm fasting. This is the worst. And they probably made it a normal thing for anyone following God, teaching about God, to go, okay, this is the normal thing to do. Make this a public thing where everyone can see. And it's something that John's disciples are like, okay, if our religious leaders are doing this, if John is doing this, why aren't you? So what is Jesus' response? Jesus answered, how can the guests of the bridegroom mourn while he is with them? The time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them. Then they will fast. So maybe if you've gone through the Bible before, you've heard Jesus referred to as the bridegroom. Maybe we, the church, the bride in Scripture. And that's the same metaphor. Jesus is with his people in this moment as he's talking with John's disciples. He's saying, this is a time of celebration. This is a time where we should be having fun. So this past summer, this is a glorious summer. Got the pleasure to do the videography for Franklin and Brittany's wedding back there. They got married. It's really cool. So how many months is that now? Basically, you survived like half of 2020 as a married couple. That's at least 3 years of normal marriage. So way to go for you. But again, had the pleasure to do the videography. It was in Bend. Probably one of the most beautiful golden hours I've ever seen. Just all these like grasses and orange hues, Smith Rock. It was fantastic. And of course, Brittany and Franklin look freaking cute. It was amazing. The ceremony, Kenny's not here tonight, but Kenny did the ceremony. It was absolutely beautiful. And I was like smiling. It was like this. I was like filming. I was like, yes, this is so good. Oh man, it was fantastic. I was having so much fun. And then after the ceremony, They reserved this outdoor seating area at this Mexican restaurant, and the food was amazing. I probably ate a full serving, and I was like, oh, that was amazing. And I didn't realize those were the appetizers. And I was just like, oh, I ate a full course meal of just appetizers. And then the tacos came out, and I was like, oh my gosh. All that to say, what if every single person that went to Brittany and Franklin's wedding, like, actually, we're fasting right now. I want to be sad about not eating these tacos. That'd be like so weird. And it'd be like very off because people celebrate at a wedding, especially one that's as amazing as theirs. And Jesus is saying, right now, we should have that same mindset. I am with you. Let's celebrate. Let's eat some food and have fun. Because a time will come when that will not be the case. This is like a huge, huge hint that eventually he will be taken. He will die for our sins. The disciples, even the ones of John, don't catch on, it seems here. But this is what he's saying. Something new is happening. The old things that you're doing to worship the Lord, those things are not going to be this, they're not going to work anymore. The old ways are passing. So, Jesus goes into these two examples of mixing the old and the new. In 16, it says, no one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, for the patch will pull away from the garment, making the tear worse. So, fixing a garment is an illustration that speaks probably more to people who are into sewing and stitching and whatnot. But it was common knowledge probably back then that if you have an old garment and you put a new patch on there, you got to pre-shrink that thing. Otherwise, when you sew it on, it is just going to shred the old one when it shrinks. I would not have known that. Luckily, my wife sews all my clothes if that ever needed to happen. It's pretty simple. We understand this. But don't mix the old garment with the brand new patch. Don't mix the old and the new. In 17, it says, neither do people pour new wine into old wineskins. If they do, the skins will burst. The wine will run out, and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour the new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. So wine was very common beverage during Jesus' time, probably as common as it is now. However, it was made in a very different manner. So they'd smash the grapes, juice them, strain that out, and pour the wine not into like an oak barrel or something like that. They poured it into an animal skin. So like, ooh, hint of goat in this Cabernet. They would put that in there and let it sit in like probably a goat skin and it would ferment. And slowly as a fermentation process happens, CO2 gas bubbles are given off in this magical fermentation process. And the goat skin, or whatever skin they would use, would slowly bloat and get bigger and bigger like a balloon. And as this goat skin expanded, the skin would give it room to do so. And then they would pour the wine out, and they would maybe for a celebration or something. But at the end of this, the skin would dry out, and it would get very brittle. Some of the parts that expanded would lose some of its integrity. So if you put an old wine back into that skin again, or a new wine into that old skin, it would blow it up, I don't know, burst it, even just like a little bit of pressure, maybe it would have just leaked all the wine out of it all over the place. Pretty simple stuff right there. However, I think there's some significance that we need to know about this stuff through a scholar. His name is Michael J. Wilkins. He says this. He says, the new wine requires new wineskins, as Jesus so eloquently put. In other words, Jesus has not come to fill the old Jewish system of traditions with new life. They are inadequate to the new life of the kingdom. Rather, new forms are needed for this kingdom, and new practices must accommodate the new life of discipleship to Jesus. This does not supersede or abolish the Old Testament, which Jesus has come to fulfill. Instead, it indicates that discipleship to Jesus supersedes rigid, legalistic adherence to traditional practices of Judaism. So, plainly put, in order to follow Jesus, we don't have to follow all the old and rigid practices of Judaism. All right, there you go. Don't worry about that stuff, guys. I know that was keeping you up late at night. But really, what does this mean for us? Like, the fact that we don't have to follow these old practices of Judaism. And it comes back to that question I prayed about, is there anything that the Lord is asking me to do? Similar to, like, even knowing about sleeping on my stomach and it hurting my neck. Is there anything the Lord is asking me to do? Because there's a bunch of prophecies pointing to Jesus in the Old Testament. But a lot of people couldn't tell that Jesus was who all these prophecies were talking about. The highest leaders of the Pharisees, Sadducees, teachers of the law, the scribes, all those people did not recognize that Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus was right in front of them, asking everyone, come follow me. I would guess that for almost all of us here, that all of us didn't convert from Judaism and struggle with that, mixing in the old ways with the new ways. But I believe that a lot of us have old ways or an old self or parts of our lives that don't necessarily align with Jesus. If we dig deep, maybe it's stuff to do with bitterness, maybe being a little lazy, or even too busy to follow Jesus. Maybe pride, substances. You love stuff. Maybe there's a conflict that needs resolution. Jealousy, love of power, not loving God's people. Man, the list could go on and on. But is there anything that the Lord is asking me to do? Ask yourself that question. Have I been avoiding it? Because following Jesus requires not just a simple patchwork, like, ooh, if I just add prayer to this, things will be better. Or, ooh, if I go to church this one time, things will be different. Following Jesus requires a brand new way of living that the old ways cannot contain. The question, from the Pillar New Testament Commentary. They say this, the question is not whether disciples will, like sewing a new patch on an old garment or refilling an old container, make room for Jesus in their already full agendas and lives. The question is whether they will forsake business as usual and join the wedding celebration, whether they will become entirely new receptacles for the expanding fermentation of Jesus and the gospel in their lives. We must become entirely new to expand. To become new, we must surrender our hearts and our whole lives to Jesus. Surrendering to Jesus means, essentially, we have to die to ourselves. And through that death, that's where that new life happens. That's why this story of the wine is so amazing here, because life, abundant, patience, hope, counting trials as joy, forgiveness, hope, love, all that stuff needs a lot of space. It needs a lot of space. And that sounds like a lot of dying to yourself, and it is. We have to completely die to ourselves. And that is what Jesus is asking us to do. That is what Jesus was telling these disciples of John. He was saying, hey, man, I'm not asking for patchwork. I'm not asking for you to try to reuse this old skin that you thought was working. I need something brand new, because something brand new is happening inside of you. Jesus was asking, hey, do you want to be a part of this celebration? So tonight, whatever that is there anything that the Lord is asking me to do? Have I been avoiding it? Because, man, I don't want to be sitting there feeling like my life is about to explode because I'm trying to combine these old ways into this new thing that Jesus is doing. A lot of this honestly reminds me of marriage in a good way, Kristen. She's way in the back there with all our kids. So speaking of kids, man, when we first got married, life was crazy. Honeymoon phase, we're figuring out how to be married. Life that I knew as a single person was no more. You have to figure out something brand new in order to make living together with your spouse work. Then all of a sudden, we have a kid, and we're like, oh my gosh, the things that I knew before didn't work as well. I had to figure out this brand new system to do in order to have a beautiful life following Jesus. It was hard. Had to figure all that stuff. Then we had two, and we're like, whoa, man. And I don't even want to get into three. Three has been really hard too. So, but man, there's this new life that was brought into ours. And that life needs so much room. So much room. Mostly in the middle of the night. But guys, the thing I want to tell you most is that, man, Jesus loves us so much that he would die for us so that we would be able to allow this new expanding life that he has for us. And so, what's holding you back? What are you waiting for? There's things that Jesus has been asking you to do. Will you be a part of it? So as the band comes back up here and we go into our time of worship, I want that to be on your minds, but I also want this sense of joy to be there as well. Because I know this isn't meant to sound defeating, but I know that if the wine receptacle that was holding all the wine burst open, it's not the end. Man, we follow Jesus. He is the new wineskin for us. He can hold everything. He can take it. He wants us to follow him. So tonight, we can worship him. But we can also realize, man, there are some things about our lives that are not completely aligned with him. So let's give this time of worship and this time of prayer right now to the Lord. And man, just allow the Spirit to work in your heart and your mind during this time. So Jesus, we just pray to you now. Jesus, we know that you're trying to do something new inside of us. So Spirit, we ask that you would speak to us, allow us to dive into maybe some of the darker parts of our mind. But Lord, we pray that you would do that so that you could shed light on it. Lord, we just pray that once you reveal to us the things that we need to give over to you, the dying to ourself, Lord, that we would, man, trust you. Trust that you love us, know that we are created by you and deeply loved. So Jesus, we thank you that you teach us each and every day and that we are growing and continuing to become more and more of this new creation. We love you, Jesus, and pray all these things in your name. Amen.